The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here with Jim Stanley to my right and Brent Creeley on the board and also in the studio. Listen, I feel the IQ points just by osmosis. Brian right. Fisher right. is still in the studio.
Brian is. He's wrapping up.
If
he's just completed 2 hours of radio, and he still, we have to wrestle the microphone from his hands every day.
Listen, if I could trade brains with anybody, he would definitely be in my top three on planet Earth.
Top three?
Exactly. And I really
wow.
mean that. Exactly. But man. So we're in the book of Job.
Folks, if you could see the smile that Brian has on his face and the compliments as they were rolling in.
Yeah, but the other two are Daffy Duck and Miss Piggy.
No. But it's great to be here. You know, Jim, this week I've been here at AFR in the studio and in the office working, and that's great. You know, we're so blessed. We've got this technology where I travel all over the country and we do the show. But isn't it a blessing to be in-house? And hey,
oh, it just adds a whole new dimension to it. And we've talked about that before. You can have good conversations when you're not in studio.
Yeah.
But it's always so much better when you can see the person who you're talking to in real time, see their expressions, know that they're ready to say something, and you don't talk over each other. I'm a fan yeah. of in the studio. Unfortunately, we just couldn't get you to move here.
Well, yet.
Yeah. Oh, yet? So
yeah.
there's still hope?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
If the offer is still around.
Hey, but Brian, will you give up your office so Alex can come in?
Well, if he keeps saying nice things about my brain, I probably will.
Listen, man, I would be happy just to have a little corner out there on the patio. But we're back east looking after elderly parents.
Right, right.
And got some family duties that definitely take precedence,
right.
you know. And, folks, we're going through the Bible, and we're looking at Jesus in every book of the Bible.
We are.
And Jim and I are doing this today. Bert is out today. But
yeah, be praying for Bert. He is under the weather, and it's not anything life-threatening, but it is. It's still very painful. I have several friends who have gone through this. It's diverticulitis,
mm-hmm.
and it was last night when I got the word from Bert. Abby was reading my text message for me,
mm-hmm.
and we won't go into how she pronounced diverticulitis, but she mm-hmm. was going diverticules or diver something, and I said, no, baby, I was sad to hear that it was diverticulitis. So.
Right.
And also, in all seriousness, be praying for Brian as well.
Okay.
He's walking through a health struggle, and we want people to bathe him in prayer, and this is a really good program to ask for that on, because we
sure.
talk about prayer all the time.
We do. Yeah, definitely pray for Brian and pray for Bert. And, the good news is, though, that Matthew 6, verse 8, Jesus said, the Father knows what you need even before you ask.
Right.
That's a great comfort in
Amen.
That, isn't it?
It is.
And so what Bert and I started doing a couple of weeks ago, and yesterday Jim Stanley and I were in the book of Esther. And if you hear the phrase messianic or having to do with Jesus the Savior, the Old Testament books are very messianic. They
mm-hmm.
point to Jesus. And in fact, Christ himself said, search the scriptures, they testify of me. Well, today what we're going to look at is the oldest book of the Old Testament, which is the book of Job. And Jim, I've often thought that the book of Job is definitely one of the most fascinating pieces of writing in world history.
Yeah.
And famously, everybody knows, well, just think about how much comes into our common conversation about the book of Job. They'll say so-and-so has the patience of Job. Or if somebody is not very polite to somebody who's in a struggle, they'll say so-and-so is Job's comforter.
Right.
Because you remember Job's friends were very critical right. of him. They kicked a man when he's down.
Absolutely.
So we know the trials of Job, but there's, in the book of Job, a couple of things happen. It is very messianic, and we're going to pull out several verses that I think Job definitively points to the coming Savior. But the other thing is this, the curtain gets pulled back a little bit, and we understand why Job went through the trials that he went through. And I think if you will read the book of Job, you'll understand why much of this world is the way it is.
Right. And a lot of instances where we are now is kind of pictorial of the life of Job. But I think one of the differences there is that Job chose not to curse God mm-hmm. and die. And unfortunately, for a large part of our culture, they laugh at God, they sneer at God, and shake their fist at God. And I think that a lot of times they choose death,
yeah,
you know, to curse God and mm-hmm. die rather than beg forgiveness and live.
1989, I was watching an interview with Malcolm Forbes, and he had collected a lot of jewelry and antiques and gold things, and there were these Fabergé eggs, you mm-hmm. know, these eggs that are gilded with all kinds of stuff. And if I recall, it was Dan Rather interviewing him. And they're in one of his houses. He was a billionaire. I'll never forget this. They said, all these things you've collected, antiques, very famous pieces that were owned by Napoleon and whatnot, anything else that you wish you could get? I'll never forget what Malcolm Forbes said. He said, well, there's one thing I would like, but I just can't buy it. And Dan Rather said, what? He said, longevity. He said,
wow.
I wish I could buy longevity. Now listen to this. This is verbatim. He said, because I've got a feeling that where I'm headed to, I won't be in the catbird seat.
Mercy.
Now, the catbird seat is an old euphemism for sitting pretty or, you know,
right.
to say, I got a feeling where I'm headed, I won't be in the catbird seat.
And even at that moment of realization, knowing that, that he was not right with the Lord, he still chose. You know, he was still looking for a way out.
Yeah.
He was looking for a way around. He was looking for a do-over
yeah.
rather than just saying, you know what? Why not Christ?
I was in a bookstore, and folks, we're going to get to several verses in Job. And if you've got a Bible, for one, turn to Job chapter 9. But, Jim, I was in a bookstore, and I'm not going to name who it was, but I saw this book of interviews with famous musicians. And this was a very, very famous rock star who, at that point, had a reality show. And they asked him all about his music career and whatnot. And they said, what do you believe about the afterlife? And he said, well, I've pretty much been an atheist or agnostic. I don't know. I'll never forget. And this was not a Christian book by any stretch of the imagination. They said, but what if you die and it turns out there's a God? What are you going to do? And listen to what this rock star said. I'm not going to name their name. He said, if I stand before God, I'll say, let me into heaven. If not, I'll buy the place. I think we both know I've got the money.
Wow.
And I thought that is the most irreverent, blasphemous, foolhardy thing I have ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just 10 kinds of stupid, isn't it?
Well, I think it passed stupid a couple of exits back.
Yeah.
You know, in all honesty, because that is one of the things that when you see that, when you hear that, it goes back to what we said just a moment ago, of people shaking their fist at God, sneering and denying him. You know, and again, we know that from the book of Job, he chose not to curse God.
That's
even
right.
through the different things he walked through.
And Job is proof that we live in a spiritual world.
Right.
This physical world is not all there is. Now, Job actually went through, if depending on how you count it, 17 types of trials. Now, he is restored at the end. He's vindicated that he was a righteous man. But the thing is, when he's going through these deep valleys, and as you said, he didn't curse God. Mm-hmm. He maintained his faith in God. One of the most amazing things Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Right.
At that point, when he really is being an amazing truster of God, he didn't know why he was going through all this stuff.
Right.
It would be hard enough to endure it, persecution, reversals, health issues, loss of family, loss of income, loss of wealth, slander among your neighbors. I mean, it would be hard enough to trust God in those deep valleys if you knew why.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine what a challenge to be thinking, I don't even know why this is happening.
Right. And yet still maintaining the ability to stand in your faith. I don't know that, well, let me back up. I'm pretty sure I would not be able to do that. Mm-hmm. I would be on the floor, beating the floor with my fist, saying, why, God, why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think what we should say is, God, why not? You know,
oh, wow.
Why would you spare me all of that and put Job through it? When we think of the walk that Christ did on the way to Calvary, where he was carrying the cross after he had been beaten, why? Why do that for me instead of letting me pay the ultimate price? And so when we look through these things, and I honestly believe it's because we as American Christians have no idea what it's like to be a Christian in other places in the world where they are going through serious persecution. We talk about being persecuted because things are getting a little tough. You know,
yeah.
It's not as popular to be a Christian as it was 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah,
it's not as expected to be a Christian because, after all, we can all do our own thing and it's all good.
Yeah.
But instead, we don't want to do that. We want to pursue Christ. And so it's the way the culture is. You know, we are to the point that as American Christians, we've been so coddled. We've got multiple Bibles in our house, or we've got software programs now that have all kinds of incredible study tools and Bibles at our fingertips, that we don't know what it really means to be persecuted. But one of the things that we've seen throughout history is that when the church is truly persecuted, it's begun to grow.
Amen. Amen. That's very true. Job was subjected to what he went through because Satan appeared to God. Mm-hmm. And Satan said, you know that Job, the only reason he serves you or appears to serve you is because you've blessed him. You let me beat up on him a little bit,
right.
God, he'll curse you to your face. God says, I don't think so. I think Job does love me. And so two or three points. One, understand that we live in a place of spiritual warfare.
Right.
Every now and then people say, well, the devil did this, the devil did that. I kind of always felt like I'm dumb enough. I make enough trouble for myself. You know, I don't have to blame too much on the devil. But there is a spiritual battle raging, an invisible war raging all around us. Don't you
Absolutely.
Think?
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Folks, this is the program Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Alex McFarland, Jim Stanley going through the book of Job. And finding Christ in the book of Job as well. When we come back, we're going to give you an update on an India Partners project and Exploring the Word continues on AFR.
The Rapid Response Arm of 8 Days of Hope is responding to tornado victims in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. On January 21st, a tornado severely damaged hundreds of homes and killed 4 people. Will you please volunteer to help Hattiesburg residents? Here's 8 Days of Hope director, Steve Tiber.
We need your help today. I mean, it's that simple. We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. You know, the best sermon I ever heard was the one I saw. We're just there to Love others as God commands us. And here's where you and I get to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
To volunteer to help with Hattiesburg Tornado Relief, please visit 8daysofhope.com. Financial donations are also needed to support this ministry effort. To give, please visit 8daysofhope.com and pray for this relief effort and for the families affected by this devastating tornado. 8 Days of Hope is a nonprofit Christian ministry.
Dr. Tony Evans says our eternal future is a free gift, but there's a price tag on the present that not everybody is willing to pay. He'll use an illustration that just might hit home as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Many of you, like me, are constantly battling weight. You know, constantly on this diet, that diet. Going to the gym and merely looking at the equipment won't change you. Studying the books on weight loss won't change you. Memorizing them and quoting them will not change you. Taking notes at a nutritional seminar will not change you. If you want to be physically changed, it's gonna cost you something. It's gonna cost you some cake, some ice cream, some pies, some cobblers. It's gonna cost you some candy and some chocolate. And I'm getting upset right now just talking about it. It's gonna cost you something beyond the information if you wanna be changed in your weight. Jesus has made it clear that discipleship and our experience with him on earth cost. To experience God in the nasty here and now and not have to wait for the sweet by and by is going to require something from you and me. Heaven has been covered by the blood. Earth requires a price.
For an in-depth, practical look at what it really means to put the Lord first, ask for details on Tony's teaching series, Restoring God to His Rightful Place, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
You are listening to Exploring the Word.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
Sitting in for Bert Harper today, and it's my privilege to be in studio with Dr. Alex McFarland. By the way, I know that when Alex is here and I'm on with him, I always want you folks to know that he's willing to come to your church and present the gospel either on apologetics or evangelistic preaching.
You're so kind.
Alex does a bang-up job, and the way you can book him at your church is to simply visit alexmcfarland.com.
You're so kind.
Well, I have my moments. Don't get used to it.
Hey, I do want to mention we've got a book coming out March 1st called Abandoned Faith.
Okay.
Abandoned Faith. Now, the subtitle is Winning Your Adult Child Back to Christ.
You and Jason Jimenez.
Yep. We wrote this together. And
right.
We've spoken all over the country in some weekends where we'll do a thing. We'll come in and we'll talk to the teens, talk to the parents as well, and we do parenting seminars and things like that.
When's the release date?
March 1st.
Hey, you know, there's going to be some folks doing interviews at NRB.
Yes.
I wonder if we could book you on a show.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Probably.
Maybe Exploring the Word?
Yeah, I'm going to do my best.
Okay.
And I'll bring the Comrex.
Oh, well, I'll have one.
Okay.
Thank you for
right.
the offer.
Sure.
In fact, I'll have three because I believe in redundancy.
Oh, wow.
So,
see, yeah, I learned a new word. Being involved with American Family has been so rewarding, and I learned this thing called Comrex. You know, and every time I go through an airport, folks, you got to understand, and some of you that have had me in your church, you've seen it. We've got this Pelican case, which is the suitcase thing, and there's all this stuff. The TSA, they pull it out, they look at it, and the TSA agents at the airport, they go, "What is this?"
Right.
And because I guess they're afraid it's like some device. I said, "It's a type of a computer you do radio with." I said, "If you've ever heard a sportscaster at a football game, guarantee one of these was there.
Right.
Don't you think?
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, but anyway, so yes, at NRB we shall do some interviews.
Sounds good. All right, folks, I want to remind you that we are partnering with India Partners, and our producer Brent's going to give me that phone number to have handy so I can give it to you in just a moment. But as of 3 p.m. this afternoon, just before we went on air, we so far, you folks have generously provided some 1,500 days of safety.
Amen.
And so if you would like the opportunity to prayerfully make a gift, we would welcome it. $7.08 provides one day of safety, rescue, and care for a child escaping the red light districts. The number to call is 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or of course you can go online to afr.net. And so we appreciate what you've done there and hope that you'll give prayerful consideration to how you can help, because it is a much needed ministry. Now, back to the book of Job.
That's
not
right.
But wait, there's more. Just back to the book of Job.
Listen to this in Job 6, verse 15. Speaking of the Lord, it says, quote, "He saves the needy from the sword, from the mouth of the mighty, and from their hand. So the poor have hope, and injustice shuts her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty." Now, Job had a humble, trusting heart that I'm like you, Jim. I don't know that I would have been there. I might have rebelled, but Job was willing to trust God in spite of the chastening. But it really, he wasn't being chastened for his sin or anything. Satan was getting some licks in.
Right.
Job is a very messianic book because by chapter 9, and this is amazing, and again, understand, folks, this is some of the oldest part of all the Scripture. And, you know, you read the New Testament, you get a very vivid picture of Jesus.
Right.
You read many of the Old Testament books, you get a somewhat veiled picture of Jesus. You know, the Old Testament, a lot of it, they said it's Jesus veiled, and in the New Testament, it's Jesus visible.
Right.
But in Job 10:32, says, "He is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, and that we should go to court together." In other words, you can't really take God to arbitration. But, verse 33, "Nor is there any mediator between us who could put his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and do not let dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me." And what he's saying is, if I had an advocate, a mediator, in the original language, the word is daysman, D-A-Y-S-M-A-N. It, of all things, it's the word from which we get the word umpire.
That's what I was going to say. I've got the New American Standard open,
yeah,
and that's what it uses there is the word umpire.
Really?
And so when you think about that, there are a couple of roles the umpire plays during a game.
Yeah.
One is to call balls and strikes.
Correct.
It's either in or it's not. And whatever he or she calls it, that's what it is. The other is to settle disputes.
Yeah.
And the disputes can be from as far as, you know, where you see a guy slide in and beat the tag and he gets called out.
Yeah.
You'll notice another umpire will come up and will settle the dispute between the player and the plate umpire.
Yeah.
And so there's always a chief umpire of the game.
Yeah.
And he's the one with whom the ultimate decision makes to overturn or let it stand, except, of course, for the replay guy. Yeah. But in life, you don't get a replay. You don't get a redo. You want someone that can call your life's game the way it is. And isn't it good to know that our advocate is able to do that 100% efficiently?
Amen. He does all things well. Job 9:33, this is the longing heart cry of really every human being at one time or another. Oh, that there were this mediator between God and me, somebody that could put one hand on me and one hand on God. Now, friend, that's who Jesus is, fully human but not fallen human, fully God. You know, the creeds of old say, as much God as if he were not man, as much man as if he were not God.
Right.
And Jesus was able and willing to put one hand on humanity mm-hmm. and one hand on the Father, because he is that mediator. I read Job 9:33, this, oh, if there were only a mediator. I say, Job, just hang on, because we're going to get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, mm-hmm. and the Son of God was manifest to pay for the sins of the world.
Right.
1 John 4:8, I believe it is, says the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. So in the Old Testament, Job 9:33, that is one of the most wonderful messianic verses.
Absolutely.
In all the Old Testament, isn't it?
Absolutely is. And, you know, earlier you and I were discussing, and the verse of Isaiah 1:18 came up. And so one of the cross references for this of the umpire is, this is what happens in Isaiah, where it says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord.
Yeah.
And then he gives the promise of what he, the Lord, is able to do, that though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. And of course, that's a messianic prophecy of what Christ does for us through the work of the cross.
Yes.
But when you think of it in this term, it shows what happens for your good when you reason with the Lord.
Yes, amen. That's true. And let me just point out there in Isaiah 1:18, where it says, come now, let us reason.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came to take away our sins, not our mind. Believing the Bible, embracing the Savior, and growing as a Christian, I think among some there's this assumption that we're just blind. You know, we believe in spite of all the evidence to the contrary.
Right.
No, there is no evidence to the contrary. And in fact, listen, you come with the heart of a child, with a child's heart, but the Bible is simple enough that anybody can understand, for God so loved the world, but it's complex enough that the riches, the levels of truth and meaning are inexhaustible.
Right.
And so, come now, let us reason. Christianity alone really validates the intellect, the
right.
reason. But so back to Job 9, it says, Job is saying, look, if there were this mediator
mm-hmm.
who could put one hand on me, one hand on God, there would not be dread and fear of him to terrify me. See, here's the thing. You don't have to be terrified of the day you'll meet God.
That's right.
If the mediator has put his hand on you.
Amen.
And this is not the greatest analogy, but you and I have been at conferences and stuff, and you know, they'll give you a badge, an all-access badge.
Right.
And I remember one of the first times I got to speak at the Billy Graham School of Evangelism. I think we were in either San Francisco or Vancouver, Canada. And I was backstage. I was going to speak, and there was Francis Chan, and there was a lot of people. And I just kind of felt like, am I even supposed to be back here? And I mean, I was one of the speakers, but I was thinking, am I allowed to be back here?
Right.
And Tom Bledsoe, who worked for Billy Graham, came and he said, hey, here's your badge, all access. And I felt, okay, I'm able to be here.
Right.
Jesus puts his all access badge around your neck. His Spirit indwells you. His righteousness is imparted to you. Your name is in his book. You don't have to fear or dread the day you stand before God, because if you're a born-again believer, essentially, and I know this is not a great illustration, but you've got an all-access badge.
Well, and the way you phrase that, the all-access, you know, we really do. We, because we are in Christ, have access to the Holy of Holies. He made that possible for us. And whereas in the Old Testament, they could only go in once a year. And then they had little bells around the bottom of the robe, and they had a rope on the guy's foot, the high priest, no offense intended. Mm-hmm. And so in case they quit hearing the bells, the rope was so they could pull him out.
Yeah.
But we don't have that fear.
Because if the Shekinah glory appeared
right.
as he went in to offer the sacrifice, ostensibly some might have dropped dead of a heart attack.
That's right. But we have been invited into the very presence of God, into the Holy of Holies. And when we worship him, the psalmist tells us that when we worship him, then he actually comes and rests on the praises of his people. So you're right. We shouldn't have that terror. We shouldn't live in fear.
Well, we're talking about Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, there is volumes of theology in what I'm going to read right now, Job 19:25-26. Job 19:25 to the end of the chapter, really. All right, here's what Job says, and he's comforting himself with the truth that he knows in his heart. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he will stand on the earth at the last day. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I will see God, whom I shall see for myself. My eyes will behold him, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. All right, let's unpack this, Jim. I mean, this is amazing, because, look, they had revelation. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and there's a capital R. The Redeemer, that's Jesus.
Right.
And this is way Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
A man from the land of Uz who was falsely accused. All right, he says there is a Redeemer. He's alive. History is going to culminate. He will stand on the earth at the last day. How did Job know history was going to end? Because we didn't have 1 Thessalonians 4 yet.
Right.
We didn't have Revelation 4 through 20. But he says, and though worms destroy my body, in other words, I'm going to die, be buried, decompose.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I know at that last day, because of the Redeemer, in my flesh, I will see God.
Yeah.
That's a resurrection body.
That is awesome. And as we look into the definition of Redeemer there, it says vindicator, defender, are literally a kinsman.
Oh.
And our Redeemer is a kinsman.
Yes.
Because he came and we have been adopted into that family, whereas we are children of God.
Wow.
So he's our vindicator, he's our defender, he's our Redeemer, and he's our Lord. So I sometimes find those things when you kind of dig in, some of those different things there. I mean, think about that, a vindicator. That Job needed a Redeemer. He needed someone to vindicate him.
Yes.
Because he knew that he couldn't do it in and of himself.
Listen, that's grace. I got to tell you, when I was confronted with the gospel at age 21, I had some questions, and the preacher who led this Bible study, he shared what we might call the Romans Road, Romans 3:20, and he said, all have sinned. He looked at me, he said, do you know you're a sinner? I said, oh, yeah. Now, nobody had to twist my arm.
Right.
I mean, thinking back, disobedient to parents, told lies. I knew I was a sinner. Think about it. Jesus stands here today, folks, and he says, I'm going to vindicate you.
Yeah.
Vindication means cleared of all guilt. You say, yeah, but I am guilty. Yeah, but Jesus, and that's called grace, grace.
Amen.
For him to vindicate and clean the slate and to clear us. Our heart just says, Lord, I love you. Thank you. I didn't deserve this, but boy, am I grateful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah. But
I'm
it goes
for
on
it.
Here. And it says in the Job 19, it says at the last day, my eyes will behold him and not another. All right, there's two things. For one thing, you're going to, if you're a born-again believer and you've trusted this Savior, you're going to see him in person.
Amen.
You're not going to get it secondhand. He's coming back. There will be a last day. And if you're saved, you'll be there in his presence.
Amen. That's Dr. Alex McFarland here on Exploring the Word. I'm Jim Stanley, and for Bert Harper, we invite you to stay tuned as we continue in the book of Job right after this on American Family Radio.
Who are you ultimately accountable to? The great statesman Daniel Webster once said, "The most important thought that ever entered my mind is my personal accountability to Almighty God." Defined, the word accountability means to be held responsible for one's action. Consider all that we are accountable for. Every second, word, penny, deed, keystroke, and thought? Or what about all those that we are accountable to? Spouses, parents, family, friends, boss, government, other authorities, and the list goes on. It has been said that accountability breeds responsibility. Scripture reminds us in Romans 14:12, "So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." In genuine seasons of revival, the followers of God make themselves accountable to God. Together, let's make it our prayer and goal to surrender to the Lord. I'm Ryan Loving, revivalist with Y Faction Ministries for OneCry.com.
Is God calling you to pursue theological graduate education? What's keeping you from taking the first step? Is it time? What if you could choose from flexible class options? Is it money? What if competitively priced seminary offered academic scholarships? Do you think you're alone? What if your classmates were just like you, balancing careers and families with seminary? Hello, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Take the first step. Visit wbs.edu.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each afternoon at 4 p.m. Central Time for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others every day on AFR.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, we've been leading these tours to Washington, D.C. for almost 20 years, and we've never had a response like we've had this year. We're going to fill up early for both our June and our September Spiritual Heritage Tours. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way, taking your questions and interacting with the group. We're going to be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown as well on a separate tour that just precedes the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon Spiritual Heritage Tour. So, if you'd like to go on one or both of these trips, you can find out all the information, all the details at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com. 2017 may be your year to join us on one of these Spiritual Heritage Tours.
Thanks for listening to Exploring the Word, and be sure to tell others about AFR Talk.
The Word of God is spoken. We are changed forever. Power of sin is broken. We are free. We are running to salvation. We have been delivered. The Word of God is spoken.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Stanley, and it's my privilege to be in studio with Dr. Alex McFarland. Now, Alex, you and I were talking a little bit earlier, and we're going to get right back into Job because I really like what we're doing, finding Christ in the Old Testament. But a little earlier, you and I were talking, and you talked about how much more you enjoy being here in person and how much more I enjoy doing the program with you. Now, again, that's not to to take away from the Comrex and the different abilities we have, but being able to see you. And folks, what you got to understand is if you can't see Alex, you can't see the body language that goes on while we're discussing things.
Oh, I assure you, they're better off not seeing me.
I really want them to see one of these times when you're talking about, I ain't got to do that. Yeah. And so it's a joy for me to be with you this afternoon. Now, when we left off, we were talking about our vindicator.
Yeah.
Someone that makes us, you know, that's able to cleanse us, that's able to take away the penalty and take away the, not just the penalty, but the actual infraction
I know.
That caused the sin.
Well, and you know, here's the thing. When Christ forgives you, you trust the Lord, you're not just innocent. Because we often think, if I could rewind the tape and if I could go back and I shouldn't have said that, I wish I hadn't have done that. Look, you're not merely innocent.
Right.
In Christ, you're righteous.
Right.
Positionally, you'll hear about, scholars use the phrase, you know, justified or positionally in Christ. And part of the reason we kind of unpack this is because this is such a rich, precious reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a verse that we use many times is 1 John 5:13. These things were written to you, who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life.
Amen.
Isn't that great?
It is.
Now, my friend, K-N-O-W, knowledge, and really the word in 1 John 5:13 is certainty. People have asked me, I do a lot of Q&A, and they'll say, do you think you're going to heaven? I'll say, no, I know I'm going to heaven. Well, that sounds very presumptuous, doesn't it? I'm like, look, the reason that I would know is because God honors his word. Alex McFarland was a guilty sinner. Mm-hmm. I deserved hell. I deserved nothing but judgment. But I have a confidence and an absolute assurance of where I stand with God, certainly not because of anything that I bring to the table.
Right.
All I had was sin and guilt. But the word of God promises. A verse we love is John 6:40. Jesus said, whoever sees the Son and believes in him will have everlasting life, and I will raise you up at the last day.
Amen.
Not might, not possibly, no, will.
Yeah.
And Job, amazingly, this is centuries before Christ was born, Job utters these words with a big degree of confidence, doesn't he?
Well, absolutely. And when you look at what precedes that, oh, that my words were written, oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that with an iron stylus and lead, they were engraved in the rock forever. When you think about that rock, it's the testimony of the Redeemer. Because you fast forward and you see the disciples and Jesus questioning them and say, you know, who do men say that I am? Mm-hmm. Well, they say you're a prophet. Some believe you're Elijah, you know, come again. And he said, yeah, but who do you believe I am? And of course, my man Peter says, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because this was not revealed to you in his flesh and blood, but it was revealed to you by the Spirit. You know, that's one of those times that Peter got it right.
Yeah.
And Jesus went on to say, upon this rock I will build my church. A lot of people think that's because his name was Peter, and they misunderstand. The rock that Christ was building that church on was not the rock of Peter, but rather the rock of the profession of Peter, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yes.
That they were engraved in the rock forever, back in Job 19:24. They were engraved in the rock forever.
Wow, that is probably a good one, good one. And we're grafted into that rock, aren't
Amen.
We? We're grafted into that rock. I want to give the phone number because we're going
to
be able
we need to take calls.
Bible questions. Folks, it's 888-589-8840. As we open up for some phone calls, I do want to say the Cove, the most beautiful conference center I've ever seen, it's in Asheville. I'm going to be there, Jim, July 28, 29, and 30.
Okay.
And what we're going to do in 3 days, we're going to go entirely through the book of Colossians.
Really?
Yep. And if you... and by the way, there's a lot of apologetics in that and Christian worldview, defending the faith. If you'd like to go to the Cove, their website is probably thecove.org, I think, thecove.org. And I know AFR does a lot of things with the Cove throughout
right.
the year.
Now, that is the...
July 28th through 30.
July 28th through 30, but it's the Billy Graham Evangelistic Training Center?
Yes.
Is that right?
In Asheville.
In Asheville. And so if you can't find it, but you're right. You should be able to search the Cove in Asheville mm-hmm. and come up with that. And our producer is feverishly Googling.
Yeah.
And he's going to take the microphone.
And Will Graham, Franklin's son,
right?
is the executive director. Sweet, greatest guy in the world. Just wonderful, wonderful people. Food, oh my goodness.
Oh, and when you walk in, You know, we talk about a mountaintop experience. Mm-hmm. The mountaintop experience actually begins when you walk through the door, because when you talk about hearts of servitude, that's what those folks have.
Oh, my word.
And you've been prayed for and prayed over. What you got, Brent?
It's the Cove, thecove.org.
The Cove.
Thecove.org.
There you go. Thanks, Brent.
Thank you, brother. Thecove.org. And so they have great people all year long, like Erwin Lutzer and Kay Arthur. And
now, is this an event you're doing or just participating in?
No, they're doing it. Okay. They invited me to come, and I feel very honored to go there. So we'll go
July
28th through 30, and together we'll go through the book of Colossians.
Amen. Good stuff. All right. Well, let's get to the phones, and we're going to talk to David calling in from Texas. David, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, how are you, gentlemen?
Doing well.
Excellent. Well, my question is regarding the end times and prophecy. So I was listening to AFR on Saturday, and one of those prophetic shows was talking about how the apostles at one point, according to them, had been teaching that the earth would only be around for 6,000 years. And according to the Jewish calendar, we're, you know, about 77, I think it is the actual Jewish year. And I just wanted to kind of get an idea of where that came from, and if it's something that we should be paying attention to, or if it's, you know, just like Jesus said, we should just be prepared. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, David. Appreciate your call. And, you know, you could not have picked a better day to call in on. Alex, while he's in town, we generally do some recordings in case there are times that we aren't able to do the show live. And one of the programs that we did today dealt with this very topic. And so I'm telling you, Alex is ready to give this answer.
That's right. Well, roughly, recorded history has been around about 6,000 mm-hmm. years. Now, we would reckon about 6,002 to 4 years, the Jewish calendar, because it's really 5 days shorter than our own,
right?
360 days, 5774. There was a guy named Bishop Usher. Usher's chronology, he put the creation date at 4004 BC. Now, believe me, I am keenly aware that evolutionists would scorn and scoff at that.
Right.
But there are a lot of scholars who think that, you know, that actually might be pretty accurate. Now, it's been 2,000 years since the life of Christ, and if you go back to 4,000 for the creation date, you're looking at about 6,000 years of human history.
Right.
Now, some have theorized, and I'm not sure, we just don't know the day or the hour Christ is going to return, but if God created in 6 days, and the seventh was a day of rest.
Mm-hmm.
And if the thousand-year millennium is a time of rest, some have theorized that human history would exist about 6,000 years. So whether it's the 5774 of the Jewish calendar, or whether it's the 6,000 and change of the Gregorian calendar,
right?
Look, plus or minus 50 or 100 years, if indeed there would be 6,000 years of human history, and then the millennium, you know, we or our children or their children might just be at the threshold.
Right. And here's the thing. I think one of the things that he said that was very telling is, should we do what Christ said and wait? Well, my answer to that is yes.
Yeah.
And so I generally operate on the it don't matter calendar.
Exactly.
He's going to come when the Father tells him to,
yep.
And we're called to be ready and watching. And there was one, you and I were talking earlier, even before the other program that we did, that the thing there is that we want to be found ready,
mm-hmm.
but we don't always want to be found watching.
Yeah.
Because if we're watching, if we're literally waiting and watching for the Lord, then that's going to tie up a lot of our time. But you know one thing it would do?
What?
Keep us out of a lot of trouble.
It surely will.
All right, Jose from Texas, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just want to say thanks, first of all, for all the great work y'all do. I love your program and your radio station. My question is regarding circumcision. A few weeks ago, you were talking about baptism, between the difference between a symbolic baptism and then being baptized by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And my question would be circumcision. I'm not a scholar in any sort in the Bible, but it's a removing of the flesh, you know, and a process that the Jewish people do. But I would ask if you would speak a little bit about our call to be removed from our flesh, you know, because we know the flesh is what has earthly desires and, you know, emotions and those type of things. And I would say, I guess we're called as Christians to be, to remove ourselves from the flesh, to be in the Spirit. And I was just hoping you can speak a little bit about that to kind of clear my thoughts up a little bit on that.
Okay. Thanks, Jose. We're going to let you listen on your radio. That's one of those questions that we get from time to time. And isn't it interesting that it's also one of the things that the apostles debated over?
Yeah, and thanks for listening, my friend. Circumcision comes about in Genesis 17.
Mm-hmm.
And God has called Abraham, and remember, God promised Abraham, we alliterate it sometimes, seed, soil, and Savior. I'm going to give you great descendants. I'm going to give you all this land. And through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. The Messiah would come through the line of Abraham. Now, in Genesis 17, it says in verse 7 that God is going to establish a covenant, an unbreakable agreement,
mm-hmm.
a covenant. And this will be the sign of the covenant that you will circumcise your male babies on the eighth day. So one of the things that the Jewish males signified that they were Jewish males was that they would be circumcised. Now, we as born-again believers have some tokens of our covenant with God.
Mm-hmm.
Look, circumcision was not what made the male baby a part of the covenant line.
Right.
They were born into the family.
Mm-hmm.
It was the birth that made them an heir of the covenant. Now, the circumcision was a sign of the covenant, but the covenant was by birth. Now, for us, it's birth. We join the church,
right,
and we get baptized.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what makes you a Christian.
Nope.
It was birth that makes you a Christian.
Right.
Jim and I each on our left hand have a ring. Putting on this ring wasn't what got me married.
Nope.
Now, I happily wear this to show that I'm married, but what got me married was Angie and I stood in front of a pastor and some witnesses and said, I do, I do. And baptism doesn't save, but we are showing that we are of a circumcised heart.
Yeah.
The flesh has been supplanted by the Spirit. And there's a number of ways you can show that. Baptism, church involvement, joining the local church. But I think it's precious to show the covenant that we're a part of.
Amen. And one of the things Jose mentioned was, you know, the taking off of flesh. In that instance, what Paul talks about is not so much the physical flesh as the spiritual flesh, the desires of the flesh, as Jose mentioned. And so as it goes back to what Alex said about having the circumcised heart, it's not so much the physical act as much as it is the spiritual act of obedience and walking with the Lord through those things. And so, Jose, we appreciate that question. Alex, we're going to try and get in one more, and we're going to talk to Teresa calling from Mississippi. And no, we're not. Sorry, Teresa. I thought we might try and get it in. Mm-hmm. But, hey, folks, do me a favor. Send your questions to us to word@afr.net. That's word@afr.net, and we'll try and help you out that way as well.
Exactly. Thanks for listening, and if you call tomorrow, we'll do our best to put you at the front of the line.
There you go.
Sorry about that. We just ran out of time, didn't we?
We did, and you know, when you have two gabaholics like us, it's easily done. Well, Alex, thank you for being here. You're flying home tomorrow, so safe travels.
God bless you, and look forward to being on again.
All right, folks. Have a great afternoon. Stay tuned as American Family Radio brings you Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm Jim Stanley. He's Dr. Alex McFarland. And it's been our pleasure to be with you on Exploring the Word here on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.